Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
What a beautiful day for us to gather after a week of not so many beautiful days. I trust and hope, because I did send out some notifications, that you are all doing well, that your families in the area are doing well, and that the Lord preserved you through this last week. Probably the craziest week I've ever seen, back to back to back of storms. A huge thank you to all those who had to work through those storms to ensure that we remained having power, electricity. For those work crews that labored day after day after day to make sure that our streets were clear of debris and continue to work to get rid of some of this water that the Lord has chosen to give us. Today is Good Shepherd Sunday. You could probably tell that based on the readings and the hymns so far. I asked the kids in Sunday school opening today to keep an ear out for how many times they hear the word sheep and shepherd, and quite honestly, I've already lost count. But when you give consideration to why this is Good Shepherd Sunday, it's really not hard to find at all. Our epistle lesson and our gospel lesson teach us that Jesus is the shepherd and that we are his flock, his sheep. He calls to us. We hear his voice and we follow him. This is to what we have been called. Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. Peter here, chief among the apostles, namesake of this congregation, and first bishop of Rome, very clearly is quoting from Isaiah, the suffering servant that we heard about on Good Friday. Jesus, he who knew no sin, became sin for us. He opened not his mouth when he was reviled. He did not utter hate in return, but rather you remember what he did. For on his cross, he says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." That was the time of his grace. As the Father poured out his wrath on him for all of our sin, for the sin of the criminals on his left and his right, for the sins of the Pharisees and the Sadducees who had rejected him, for the sins of those who believed on him, Jesus died on that cross. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. There are plenty of times in our lives where we want to lash out at the people who are saying all sorts of things against us. God ultimately will judge them. It is important that we do make sure that the truth is revealed, absolutely. But we also trust in God. We are to follow Jesus as an example. Lord willing, we have those around us that God sends to make sure that the truth is proclaimed. Because the truth is always better than the lies. He himself bore our sins in his own body, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. Again, St. Peter is simply quoting Isaiah. This is the fulfillment. This is what we've been waiting for. The Messiah has come. And they nailed him to the tree. The King of all creation, the one that spoke the heavens and the earth into being, they took to a cross. They beat him. They mocked him. They spit at him. They divided his clothes for their own joy and pleasure. And it's by his stripes, by the wounds in his hands and his feet, the thorns placed on his head, the spear in his side, that we are healed. Free to us We've not deserved it. We've not paid for it. Gold and silver cannot buy this grace. It is won by the precious blood of Christ, by his innocent suffering and death. His flock was going astray. They focused on their own rules as opposed to who the Messiah really truly was. They focused on the fact that he healed people on the Sabbath. That is, he made the sin go away and he made it right. He took their infirmities. He took their diseases. He took them into himself and he poured out his righteousness on them, and they hated him for it. So it's no wonder when this world looks at us who believe in his wounds, who believe in his cross, who believe in his empty tomb, and they do the same to us. We were like sheep going astray, but our Savior's voice cries out to us. Our Master, our King, our Good Shepherd. He points us to the better way. He gives us the example of how we are called to live. Luther, in his sermon on this text, writes this, I think, exquisitely, and I share it with you today. He cannot praise and stress highly enough, that is St. Peter, the suffering of Christ. He cites nearly all of Isaiah 53. Look at how he always puts plainly side by side the two points on which everything depends and correctly distinguishes our work, which follows his example. From Christ's merit, which faith grasps. First, it says, he sacrificed our sins on the cross, and we are healed through his wounds. This is the chief point, and it is due completely to him alone. We must teach and believe this purely and clearly against the devil and his sects in order to retain for Christ his honor and office, in which is our salvation. Yet we must also not forget the second point for the sake of false Christians who only hear the first point and do not improve, that since we are freed from sin and healed, we must not again defile ourselves with sins. Where these two points are not both correctly proclaimed, there is harm on both sides. Those who proclaim and urge our works destroy true doctrine and faith. Those who neglect the teaching of Christ's example destroy its power and fruit. There are so many sects within Christianity that bear the name of Jesus Christ, yet reject his teaching. There are so many that chase after the fallenness of this world, that promote those doctrines as opposed to what God's word clearly has to say, that promotes the evil that the devil and his lies would have us believing instead of the truth. The truth is that we all deserve hell. We all deserve damnation. We all deserve to suffer for all of eternity for the sins that we ourselves have committed. But thanks be to God, his grace saves us from eternal perdition. And it is only by faith in Jesus Christ that those sins are taken from us. Jesus died for the sins of the whole world. All people may believe on him and be saved. And yet the devil, the world, our own sinful flesh make us so concerned about the cares of this life as opposed to focused on the life that is to come. The shepherd cries out, believe in me. Believe that I have died for your sins. Believe that faith in me, by my grace, will forgive those sins. I am calling out to you, hear my voice and follow me. But the devil makes all sorts of lies. You don't need to repent. You don't need to turn from your sins. Live like the world. Embrace whatever your flesh desires and craves. The world, of course, would have us so focused on the joys and pleasures of this life that we lose sight of living a life crucified with Christ. Jesus did not say, "Do whatever makes you happy, because that's all I care about." He said, "Pick up your cross and follow me." He has laid out the example for us. Sometimes we go on that end and we say, it doesn't matter how I live. I can live just like an unbeliever, a heathen. I can live gratifying my flesh. It doesn't matter because Jesus died for me anyway. But what does that actually do to the cross? How does that make our Father feel when he sees us going back to our sin like a dog returning to its vomit? It's in the Bible. And if you've ever had a dog, you know that that's actually how they work. Are we called to return to our sin and just embrace it over and over and over again? God forbid. By no means. Just as he told that woman caught in adultery, "Go and sin no more." That is what our Lord calls us to do. That is how he calls us to live. We as Christians don't get to just do whatever our flesh desires. We are called to sacrifice those things. We are called to hear the voice of the Spirit who lives in us and follow the will of our Father. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd." The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. There are some hirelings, that is, those who take this job that are placed there not by God, but by the devil. There are people that rise up in powerful positions and proclaim things against God's word. Things like those who reject that Jesus Christ died for the sins of the world, that reject that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh, that reject that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, that somehow they love Jesus just as much as those who have called by his name and follow him. But this is not from God. This is a lie of the devil. Those who would end the lives of Christians for confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord do not truly love Jesus. Jesus is not a hireling. Rather, he lays down his life for the sheep. God will use St. Paul to tell a young pastor, Timothy, how he is to care as the under-shepherd for those sheep. And it is not easy. The life of ministry is not an easy life. It is blessed beyond a doubt. It is one of the most beautiful things to get to spend so much time day in and day out telling people about Jesus. I get to do that for a living. You do that at your job and HR is going to call on you. But how wicked is that? How wicked is it that when you share your hope, your faith in what Jesus Christ has done for you, your boss punishes you? That's not from God. That's from the devil. The word pastor is Latin and it means shepherd. Pastors are simply under-shepherds. They are shepherds of specific flocks that God has entrusted to his care. But they don't answer to themselves. They answer to the good shepherd, the chief shepherd, the one to which our knees will bow on that last day, the ones to which we will give an account of the flock entrusted to our care. Your pastors care about you. They love you. They pray for you. They desire to see you for all of eternity. And because of that, they are called by God to point you not only to the joys, but to your sins. They are called to tell you to correct your erring ways, to repent, to turn to the foot of the cross, and cry out for his mercy, and they joyfully stand there to announce that his forgiveness reigns. It is a joy to be able to hold a baby or stand next to an adult as water is poured over his or her head And at the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that word comes upon them. The Holy Spirit comes upon them, and they are made his children. It is a joy and a privilege as young people and older people are seasoned in God's word, that his word so fills them that they desire to receive the Lord's body and blood. It is a joy and a privilege to be the mouth that God borrows, sinners though we are. That when the bread and the wine are distributed, the body and blood of Christ are given for the forgiveness of sins. It is a joy to stand before a couple who are getting married or affirming their marriage. But on the other side, so many people that I have grown to love and care for, and pastors throughout the whole world, will also bury, will sit at the bedsides and sing hymns with the families as they slip out of this life. People that you grow to love, that you grow to care for, simply walking away for the most trivial things, oftentimes without even a conversation. But at that deathbed, and when I get to stand in this pulpit and proclaim over that body that that isn't the end of the story, because that body will be placed in a temporary resting place. That body will be planted like a seed, and on the day of judgment, that body and its soul will be reunited to sing the praise of Jesus Christ without end. Pastors, under shepherds, answer to the chief shepherd, the good shepherd. We pale in comparison to him. But we are called to do it. Dear Christian, do not return to the vomit that is your sin. Rather, remember that you are better than that, not because of who you are, but because of who Jesus is. Because he is your king. Because he is your shepherd. He cared so much for you. He cared so much for your sin that he died the death that we deserve to obliterate that sin. And how it grieves our God when we return to do it over and over and over again without repentance. There are so many splintered denominations, but there is one chief shepherd. Regardless of what the name on your church is, whether it's Pentecostal, Trinitarian, Baptist, non-denominational, Roman Catholic, Lutheran, Evangelical, all sorts of denominations, those people that gather there, that confess that Jesus Christ is who he says he is, that reject the way of living in sin, that believe that he has died and risen for them, that rejoice in the day that is to come. They hear the chief shepherd's voice. They follow him. Other sheep I have which are not of this fold, Jesus says. Them I also must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. You, dear child of God, not because you use the name Lutheran, but because you are a Christian, because you confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of Sabaoth, Lord of the heavenly hosts, you too shall live. This is the joy, dear Christian. This is the hope. This is our reason to rejoice this Easter season and every day moving forward. The church sings. And so through all the length of days, thy goodness faileth never. Good shepherd, may I sing thy praise within thy house forever. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.